Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Hey, next Wednesday, we're having a very special service here. If you haven't heard, we're having a special healing service. Roger Webb, the preacher in the wild, will be here. And I met him through Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. And he's just a down-to-earth redneck. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good word in Wildwood. Redneck's a good word. Yeah, he wears a camo, and just as he is, just a plain, simple guy. But God is doing some really wonderful things through him that are absolutely miraculous miracles. Quite possibly the gift of miracles being displayed through somebody that is not flamboyant and not somebody who's trying to make a name for themselves, just letting God use him. He's been through a lot of stuff himself. He paid a pretty high price to walk this walk with the Lord. And so anyway, next Wednesday, be here. Come early. It's going to be a wonderful time at 6:30, and there'll be a lot more people here. Word's getting out, and people are already making plans on being here, so it's going to be a good time. And so I felt like tonight the Lord would have me give you a little, some teaching on healing 101, just some basic understanding, so we can prepare for a great time in the Lord. This is a mysterious subject, and I want to say that up front. A lot of things are mysterious subjects. Like when you talk about tongues, like I did last week and the last couple of weeks, it's a mysterious subject. There are going to be some people who not agree with you. I understand. There are going to be some people that are offended. I understand. But, you know, it's one of those mysterious subjects. Tongues is a mysterious subject. Miracles are a mysterious subject. Deliverance is a mysterious subject. Healing is a mysterious subject. But we don't shy away from that. It's still the Word of God. We don't back down from that. If you don't want to be bewildered in your life or confused, then stay away from those subjects. Your identity in Christ and your destiny will bring you into conflict with the enemy. If it doesn't, then there's something wrong. You're going to have conflict with the enemy because of who you are. And because what God wants to do with your life. Signs and wonders are for unbelievers. The Bible says that, especially in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14:2. It's a sign to unbelievers. And Jesus used healing as a sign to show that he was the Messiah and that he had the authority to do what he was doing, especially the authority to forgive sins. To a paralyzed man that was lifted down through the roof, and by ropes, Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, get up, take your bed and walk and go to your house. So he did this healing as a sign that he had authority to do what he was doing, especially authority to forgive sin. Jesus himself said his miracles were a greater testimony than what John the Baptist had been testifying that Jesus was the Lamb of God. Jesus said in John 5:36, I have a greater testimony than that of John. The works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works I do, they bear witness of me that the Father sent me. So the miracles and the signs and the wonders are the proof that Jesus is who he says he is. John 14:12, he said, his followers, that's us, would do the same things and greater. He said, signs and wonders will follow those who preach the true preaching of the word. There'll be signs and wonders. You won't have to hype it up. You don't have to make things happen. It'll happen. Signs and wonders will follow. Believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many of you here tonight have experienced a miraculous healing, the power of God in your body? Raise your hands, please. There's enough witnesses here right now to validate that. Okay? It'll build your confidence in the Lord like nothing will. And I believe that many of you are going to have a great experience even tonight, throughout this week, next week, or whenever. Whenever God, you don't have to have a special healing service for God to manifest healing. He's a healer. He can do this anytime, anywhere, any place. Doesn't even have to have a church to do it. Doesn't have to have a preacher. Many times we've seen healing come through little children who didn't really understand everything they were doing other than they were just praying and asking God to touch somebody in a special way, and miraculously they were healed. And there's one thing we must get clear about healing, and that is that healing has already been taken care of at the cross. I didn't always know that. As in the Baptist church, I didn't know that. Healing is in the same place as salvation. The place you go to get forgiveness of sins, healing's right there. Not only did Jesus die for your sins, but Scripture says He bore our sicknesses. Isaiah 53, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, the whipping, the suffering. It was one thing just to be crucified on the cross, but why did He have to go through all the whipping and the suffering? It had meaning, had purpose. With His stripes, we are, note present tense, we are right now healed. And this was before Jesus even was physically on the earth as the Son of God. This is Isaiah. This is hundreds of years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And now if you want to break this down a little bit, well, the word griefs and the word sorrows in the Hebrew, there's the Hebrew words. They mean malady, anxiety, or anguish, or affliction. Now, you may look at that and say, like I used to think as a Baptist, I used to think, and I'm not saying that to bash Baptists, because our Baptists do believe in healing. I believed in healing, but I didn't understand this particular scripture. It just wasn't my teaching or my understanding. But if you're not convinced, like I wasn't convinced that that scripture was talking about healing in Isaiah 53. I don't remember being convinced that that was talking about physical healing. I took it as being spiritual healing or emotional healing. But tonight, we're going to blow the lid off of that. That is an error and that is not true, and I'm going to prove it to you. If you're still not convinced that this Isaiah 53 passage is talking specifically about physical sickness and disease, and you think it's just emotional or spiritual, then I need to show you the very scripture in the New Testament where this scripture is reinterpreted and what it means that Jesus took our infirmities and He bore our sicknesses. Here, let me show you, okay? In Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 16, Jesus, the scripture is quoting this Isaiah scripture. You'll see it clearly. When Jesus entered Peter's house, He saw his mother's mother-in-law, lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. She rose and started serving Him. When evening came, they brought to Him many who were possessed with demons, and He cast out the spirits with His word. And He healed all who were sick. Notice, to fulfill what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, and he's quoting this Isaiah scripture now, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. In Matthew, these words are changed to give a right interpretation of what specifically this scripture means in Isaiah. The scripture in the New Testament is a commentary or an explanation of Isaiah 53 verse 4. It says infirmities and sicknesses to clarify what griefs and sorrows were. Now, the same place we receive forgiveness of our sins is the same place we receive healing for sickness and disease of our bodies. Now, here's some more. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Speaking of Jesus, Peter says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, which means the cross, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes, again, the stripes, the whipping, the suffering, you were healed, past tense. Of course, Jesus had already gone to the cross when Peter wrote this. Jesus had already accomplished this. And so he's saying it to people that are in the existence of time. Isaiah was writing about eternity, outside of time, that you are healed. It's already an accomplished fact. And Peter says now to people in the existence of time, he says, you were healed, past tense, it's already accomplished. It's an accomplished fact. Now, it's interesting that the word save, we hear that word save in the Greek, is often the word sozo. And it's translated save like 94 times in the New Testament. But it's also translated 3 times as healed and made whole at least 10 times. And you're talking about physical healing. For example, in James 5:15, the Bible tells, if anybody is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will sozo the sick. It's talking about sickness. It's talking about disease. It'll sozo. So this word sozo is used here interchangeably, not only for salvation from sin, but also for salvation from sickness and disease. So here's the point. Jesus bore our sicknesses and disease just at the same time he bore our sins. All on the cross at the same time. So for anyone to say that, you know, God's going to put sickness on somebody would be just the same as saying, well, Jesus is going to put sin on somebody. It doesn't make any sense. He wouldn't put sickness on anybody any more than he would put sin on somebody. He bore those things. One of Satan's greatest deceptions is to get Christians, get believers, to think that Satan's actions are actually God's actions. If they will believe that sickness was sent by God to teach them a lesson, how can you resist it? Why go to the doctor if it's sent by God? See, and Satan gets people deceived and in error to think that this sickness was sent by God to teach me a lesson. Well, God would be breaking his word. The Bible tells us to resist Satan in every form. James 4:7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. And the word resist means to actively fight against. Now, how do you fight a demon, a fallen angel that you can't see? Well, first of all, the scripture says, first of all, make sure you submit yourself to God. What's the opposite to submit yourself to God? To not submit yourself to God would be pride. No, I'm not going to submit to God. Pride, rebellion, or whatever, but pride would be not submitting to God. So how do we resist Satan? Well, Scripture, the best commentary on Scripture, tells us fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. What is fighting against our faith right now? Unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief pulls against our faith. It's always around, and it always is trying to affect us. Remember the story of the man who had the child and he believed, but he said, now, Lord, help my unbelief. Here's the point. He had faith and unbelief at the same time. He had faith, but he also had unbelief. And the unbelief negated his faith. That's why he couldn't get anywhere. Couldn't get any answers. Couldn't get any solutions. Couldn't see the healing manifest. And so when we say of unbelief, unbelief can come in a variety of forms. Doubt, skepticism. Just being skeptical. So, not that you should be gullible, but just being a skeptic on things that God is actually doing, which is a form of unbelief. And so Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy from you. He comes to steal and kill and destroy everything that God wants you to have. Satan also comes to make you sick in your body. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Bible talks about blessings and curses. You can take a pad of paper and read Deuteronomy 28 and write down everything that's a blessing, and you can write down everything that is a curse. And you'll see sickness is a curse in this world, this fallen world. Sickness, all forms of sickness is a curse. Now, I'm not saying that you're cursed if you have sickness. If you're sick in your body, you're not cursed, but you're under the curse of a fallen world. Sickness is a result of a fallen world. There was no sickness before sin. There was none whatsoever. And so the Bible is very clear about sickness and where it comes from. It comes to the result of a fallen world and a world that has a curse in it. Now, Christians are free from sin, but they still sin. Can I get a witness from anybody who's honest? Christians are free from sickness, but they still get sick. But neither of those are the will of God. It's not God's will for you to be sick. Neither is it God's will for you to be in sin. According to Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus was made a curse for us to redeem us from the curse. Think about it. There was no sickness in the world before sin. Wow. Imagine what that was like. No sickness. And so we've got to recognize something that's very important here to be able to begin to receive the healing that God has for us. And that is, we recognize sickness is not from God. If you accept that some sicknesses God gives to people because he's trying to teach them a lesson, then you will not fight against it. Okay? You can't settle for that. You can't compromise for that. And you don't give up when you have sickness and say, well, I guess it's just God's will for me to be sick. That is a lie. And you got to stand firm with that. Yeah.
I just want to share a scripture that I have used so many times before to help you discern in your life when things are coming against you or things are happening, whether you think it may be from God or from the enemy. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Every good and every perfect gift. So that means every bad and imperfect gift comes from? Okay. And I mean, that is one way to help you to discern. When you get sick, you can know that that is not from God, but yet it is part of living in a fallen world. There are diseases, there's germs, there's whatever. But it is not from God's hand. So you really, really have to get a grip on that. His hand gives you good things. Okay? So James 1, verse 17. Write it on a little 3x5. Keep it with you. When things start going on, say, God, thank you that I know every good and perfect gift comes from you. And I thank you and rejoice in that. So...
By the way, if you don't know it already, you can go to our website, and there is a recording that Pam made. You can download it. You make copies of it. It's all free. A healing CD with all those just scriptures she's quoted over, background of nice music, and it's very anointed. People use it when they go into even surgery. You know, the doctors are playing their own music sometimes, but you as the patient can say, I want you to put this in. I want you to play this while I'm under anesthesia and while I'm having surgery. And if they balk at that, you say, I pay your bill. I pay your, you work for me. Remember that. Okay. And they won't. They'll cooperate with most of them. Very gracious. But they've done that in the hospital, and you can keep it in your car. You can play it when you go to bed at night. It's a good soaking CD too, to just listen to that word and let that word go in you. The word's living. The word's alive. So it does something when it comes out into the atmosphere, see. So we recognize sickness is an attack of the devil. It doesn't mean you've sinned. I'm going to get into that in a minute. It doesn't mean that you're under a curse. It doesn't mean that you're evil. Sickness is an oppression of the devil. Let me show you in Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were what? They were oppressed of the devil, because God was with Jesus, of course. Note, the sick were oppressed of the devil. See, if you're sick, you need to see sickness from a Bible perspective. Sickness is an attack, is an oppression on your body from the devil in some form. I'm not saying all sickness is a result of some sin in your life. I'm not saying it's because of some failure in your life. If you have a wound, you have a cut on your hand, and it gets infected, it's not because of your personal sin, or it's not necessarily because of a demon. It's because you're in a fallen world. It's just because the corruption that entered a perfect world came through sin, and Satan takes advantage of that. Now, there are three major reasons for sickness in the world. There's many more than that. I just want to give you three kind of major ones. We live in a fallen world. This world's not heaven. Thank God we don't live here forever. I mean, we all kind of want to live a healthy, long, prosperous life, but when it comes time to go, you don't want to stay longer than you need to stay. There's something much greater for you. Heaven's very real. And there's no sickness. There's no disease. No arthritis. No congestion. No sinus infection, no headaches, no joint pain, no whatever. There's nothing out there. There's none of that. Not one bit of it. Who wouldn't want to go there? Aren't you glad that we don't have to stay here forever? Continue to take medication or go see the doctor. As you get older, how much of your life is spent going to sit in a doctor's office? Way too much, isn't it? Way too much. Way too much. Another reason there's sickness in this world, Satan attacks with sickness and disease. Jesus said, I came to give you life and more abundantly. But prior to that, he says, Satan comes to kill, rob, and destroy. And we do, number three, reap what we sow. But it isn't like God getting even with you or getting you. We reap what we sow. I mean, if a person smokes three packs of cigarettes a day for many years, it's more than likely they're going to have a higher chance of getting lung cancer or some form of cancer. If you're sexually promiscuous, you're more than likely going to get a sexual disease if you continue in that. You're reaping what you sow. It's not God getting even with you. Yeah, and it's because of consequences. You know, you rob a 7-Eleven store, you're probably going to go to jail. Don't have a Grace Tabernacle sticker on the bumper of your car either. We'll deny we knew you. No, we wouldn't do that. So we know them, but anyway. Our position must be, we must line up with the Word of God. God said, by His stripes we are healed, therefore we are healed. You say, well, how come I still have pain in my body? How come I still have fever? How come I still have to have surgery? Well, I understand. Satan has come to take away your healing and oppress you with sickness. And it's something I want you to wrap your mind around. It's a new way of thinking. It's contrary to the world. You're going to be an oddball if you believe in healing. You're going to be an oddball if you take the Word of God serious. You're going to be very peculiar. So let's say you have a cold. Do you deny you have a cold? Someone says, oh, I see you sniffling or coughing. You got a cold? And you say, oh, no, I don't have a cold. Either you're lying or I'm terribly deceived. Looks like you got a cold. Yeah, Yeah. No, you don't deny that you have a cold, but you see it differently. You see it from a different perspective. You see it from God's perspective. This is an attack on your body. You see it as an attack on your health. And I love this particular statement, and I don't know who said it first, but whoever it is, they should get credit for it. You are not the sick trying to get well. You are the healed of the Lord that Satan is trying to make sick. See, that's a whole different twist from the world's way of looking at something. You're the healed. God says, by his stripes you were healed. By his stripes you are healed. Now, either God is lying, which he doesn't lie, or we got it wrong. We need to line up with what God says. I'm not saying you don't deny that you have symptoms. You know, the difference between what is true and truth, remember? Something may be true, but yet it's not truth. It may be true that you have a fever. But just because that's true, that doesn't help you. Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. When you know something is true, it doesn't set you free. But when you know the truth and you say, well, yeah, you know, I may have a fever here, sickness is attacking my body, but by his stripes I was healed and I am healed, and I'm not the sick trying to get well. I'm the healed of the Lord that Satan's trying to make sick. So you stand differently on that, see. And you're going to be an oddball when you start thinking this way. And so we're fighting the good fight of faith. What's the fight of faith? To stay in faith. To believe God, to go against my five physical senses, you know, sight, smell, touch, and feeling, and taste. It may feel this way, it looks this way in my body, but there is a higher law than just the physical. There's more than just than what we just see. We have to believe God's word, and we stand on God's word above our physical feelings. Now, that's not easy. Listen. I don't get it right. Sometimes we're just going to miss it. Sometimes we're going to miss. But blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. So let's be patient with one another. We're not going to get it right all the time. I don't get it right. We miss things. We miss God sometimes. But we have to learn what the Word of God says and then get our minds renewed, wrapped around the way He thinks. And be careful with your words so that you speak what God says. You know, I believe in going to doctors. I believe in taking medicine. I do myself. If I need to go to the hospital, I'll go to the hospital. You know, you let the Lord lead you in those things. If someone tells you you need surgery or something, well, you pray and ask God. And you know, if you don't have the peace of Christ ruling in your heart about it, I don't care if they tell you it's life and death, don't do it. Roger Webb will probably share a little bit of his testimony if he's was told several things like that and had stage 5 kidney failure and said, you're going to die and this and that. And that may be true, but it's not truth, because truth sets you free. It may be true, but it's not truth unless it's the Word of God. And so you go to God and talk about it. And if God says, now, yeah, go ahead and have the surgery, then you have peace about it, you know, in your heart, then you proceed. Trust God for that. Wherever your faith level is. People are at different faith levels of growing and trusting God. We're all learning to trust God more. So we're at different levels. You know, many times Jesus never prayed for people. For healing, he'd just say, stretch out your arm. Rise up and be healed. Go in faith. Sin no more. Forgiven of your sins. Rise up and walk. Well, Lord, I'd really like to at least you lay hands on me and pray for me. Or would you anoint me? Or could we have a healing line? Or could we have a little healing music in the background? Or, well, God's shown you there's no formula. There's no formula. About the time you think you got God figured out and you know you have maybe you have an exciting revival service one Sunday and boy, everything just went great and power of God was there and people got saved, healed, delivered, all the things were happening, bells and whistles going off. And then you think, well, next week we got to make sure we do everything the same way. We've got to have 4.5 songs. We've got to do the offering this way. We've got to preach this long. We've got to make sure we give invitation this way. You try to do that again, and then God will almost just purposely mess you up to show you there's no formula. Amen. You can preach the same sermon. Amen. And what happened here won't happen there. Amen. You know, there's no formula. So this requires of us that we have to have a radical change of thinking and renewing our mind to think like God thinks. Now, next Wednesday, Roger will be here, and we're just going out on and saying we're going to have a healing and miracle service, and we ought to come expecting healing and miracles. Well, you say, well, what about tonight? Well, we ought to come expecting that tonight too. Amen. Doesn't have to have a special person come in. You don't have to have a special service. Yeah, we're just announcing it because more people will come out that are seeking healing. Amen. Not many places you go on a Wednesday night where the church says, hey, we're having a healing service. There'll be people driving by on the road out there who probably they just found out they just got a diagnosis of cancer. And God will purposely put them on that road out there, and they'll drive by and they'll see it on our sign that we're going to have a healing service. And God will say, well, turn in here. Not that we are anything special, not any more than anybody else, but we're providing God an opportunity to do what he said he does. We believe that. We believe healing. We practice it. We lay hands on the sick. But you have to go according to your faith level, wherever your faith level is. You know, the woman who with the issue of blood, she was hemorrhaging. She said to herself, no one told her this. She said in herself, if I can but just reach out, get close enough in the crowd to where I can just touch the hem of his garment. And there's a lot more meaning there. And the Jews would understand better than we Gentiles. But the point is, she just said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. That was her faith level. That's what she had to do. People are different faith levels. That's why James 5 says, if anyone's sick in the church, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. But sometimes God heals without anointing of oil. God heals without elders. God heals in a miraculous. He's just providing just different opportunities. But if that's your faith level, that's what you should do. And tonight, we'll offer that. If you want to be anointed with oil and prayed over for your sickness, and we believe God for healing, if that's your faith level, then we want to do that. You know, other people, different levels. So believers lay hands on the sick. If you're a believer, you're qualified. Believers lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And that word recover means a process. A miracle is an instantaneous thing. I mean, it's taken care of right then. But the healing is usually a process. Why does God do it that way? I don't know. He's God. He's in charge. So I would like to have a little background music, Eric, if you could put a little background music for us. Not that we have to have it. It just kind of helps the atmosphere, helps me feel better. And we're going to be up here, Pam and I, and the elders who are here tonight, come on up, if you would. If you would like an elder to lay hands on you, I have some oil up here. We'll anoint you, if that's what you would like. If you don't need that, if you just want the prayer of agreement, the Bible says where two or three agree touching any one thing, it shall be done for them by their Father in heaven. Here's some oil there, brother. You can pass that around. If you like to be anointed with oil, if you don't want to be anointed with oil, that's fine. But we're here today putting our faith in alignment with God. Nothing's too difficult for the Lord. It doesn't matter what the need is, God is not intimidated. Doctor says, you're going to die. I think God almost laughs at that. Oh, really? I can't tell you. Come on up, Gary. Come on up, brother. Anybody. Go to the men. Men with men, women with women, if please. If you would like prayer for healing, you can come. If you're done and you want to go home, then God bless you. That's fine, but be sure to pass the word around. Share it on Facebook. That we are having a healing service this next Wednesday, a special time, a special guest preacher, teacher with us as well. And we're going to pray. Carol, come on up and join us. You come up and join us. Anybody else has strong faith, who has been used by God to touch people and see the miracles of healing. If that's you, just come on up. Come on up. Come on up. You don't have to be an elder to do that. You just be a believer. If you'd like to pray for the sick, come. Come. And if you're done, that's fine. God bless you. You can go home. If you want to stay and watch and see what happens, then praise God. You just go right ahead. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just have a great expectation of you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. You sent your word and you healed our disease. By your stripes, we are healed, and we were healed and we are healed. You said if we abide in you and the words abide in us, we can ask what we will. It shall be done. We believe you for healing, for miracles. We believe you for miracles, signs, and wonders that only you can do. And we pray, Father, that only you get the glory and only you get the honor, because only you are worthy of all of that. We trust you and we thank you for healing virtue in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.